Hey, good morning, Tori.
Good morning.
Hi. So, welcome to our room.
So happy to be here. This is so much fun.
So, Tori, you've been acting for quite a while now, since the age of 11,
Yes.
and you've transitioned from television to film by the time you were 14, and quickly amassing a diverse portfolio of over 20 plays, many commercial short films and film and TV. And your career has taken you now into this new place with this new TV series that you're on, Elkhorn.
Yes.
Do you want to kind of give us, let's start with, kind of where did you get started with acting? What was it about it that got you captivated?
Honestly, I've always been in love with the whole industry, and I've wanted to be an actor ever since I can remember. But my parents, they're in the industry, they're producers. They started off as editors, and they, have been on sets since the 80s, so they saw how difficult it was for actors to like make a living and support themselves and also, actually achieve their dreams of being successful. So they did not want that for me. They really discouraged it at first. But when I was about 10 years old, my mom's best friend from college, she was working as a script supervisor on a few very popular Nickelodeon shows. And since I was like, 10 at the time, I was constantly watching these shows. These shows were like my life. I wanted to be on them so badly. So she invited us to come to the set of one of them one day, and it was the show Victorious. So if anybody's in my generation, if anybody watched Nickelodeon back in like the late 2000s, early 2010s, they'd know that show. And so I went on set and I met the whole cast, me and my sister and a few friends. We were like the only outsiders that were on set that day, so we got a lot of one-on-one time with the cast. And I was just talking to Victoria Justice, who's the lead in the series, and she was so kind. She just answered all of my questions. And I asked her, I was like, "So when did you get started with acting?" And she was like, "Oh, I really realized that this is what I wanted to do around 10." And like she just made me realize that she was just like me. Like she had the exact same dream and she made it happen. And if she could do it, then I could do it as well. So after that, I was just bothering my mom every single day, like, "Get me into acting classes, get me an agent, please, please, please." And she was like, yeah. She was kind of just waiting for it to be a passing fancy. And one day I took her laptop when she was like in the kitchen doing something, and I signed myself up for all of these like casting newsletters, and I even signed myself up for, it's basically like a scam version of casting networks. It was called Explore Talent. And I'm pretty sure there was some like shady affiliations with it. So I signed myself up for it. And then all of a sudden, and now I was 10, so I didn't have an email address yet. So I signed my mom up for it. She started getting all of these spam emails, and she realized that I had basically I'd signed her up for all of these scams because I was so incessant. I wasn't gonna wait for her to do it because she wasn't going to. So I took it into my own hands. And so after that, like she wasn't even mad about it, but she just saw that this wasn't something that I was gonna just let go. She realized that this is what I wanted to do, that I was not going to forget about it. It was not going to be a passing fancy. So then at that point, I was about 11. She was like, "Okay, you know what? You want to do this? I'll support you. I'll help you." So she got me into acting classes. She started driving me to meetings with agencies. And we went to a lot of meetings with agents that wanted money up front. And basically, they were scams. And thankfully, she was there with me to be able to kind of suss it out, because if I had been somehow going alone, like taking the bus, I don't know where I would have ended up. But yeah, she really supported me from there on out. She and my dad both. And, you know, after that, she would just drive me to all of the auditions that I would get once I finally, you know, got with an agency that got me auditions, and she signed me up for Actors Access, which, if you're in the industry, you know that that's like the best way to, you know, access auditions on your own if you don't have a representative. So she really helped me with that. She spent, I want to say, like the better part of her 50s on the 405 driving me to auditions. And I spent the better part of my teens on the 405 being driven, but I could not have done it without her or my dad. So yeah, it's kind of how it all started.
Wow. Yeah, the plight of the parent, you know,
Oh,
driving
exactly. Exactly. But you know, I started fairly young, and people always ask me, did you have like a stage mom? And I was like, oh no, she was the opposite. She wanted anything but for me. But you know, I gave her no choice, and she was supportive. So that's how that all went down.
That's fantastic that they were supportive. That I mean, that's really important. Support around you, you know, while you start doing this is very important because it's very easy to give up.
Oh, it's huge. It is absolutely huge. And you know, even though my parents have been in the industry since the 80s, they're producers now. They just produced their first feature film, but they were in the documentary world for most part. They were also cutting like trailers, so they didn't really have a whole lot of information on this side of the business, like the acting side of the business. So it was a learning curve for all of us, but the information that they did have from their prior experience definitely helped me a lot as well. You know, it would be a lot different if they owned a tractor supply store and they were trying to help their daughter. So I'm really grateful for that as well.
So let's fast forward to this new role that you have of Rosie in the TV show Elkhorn, where you very skillfully navigate the intricacies of small town intrigue and also it's the story of Teddy Roosevelt in the early days.
Yes.
So talk us through, you know, introduce us to the series and to your role.
Great. So essentially what Elkhorn is all about, it details this part of history that is not very widely known. The part of Teddy Roosevelt's history where he was a cowboy in the Badlands of North Dakota. And I knew that he had done some like ranching, and I'm a history buff, so I felt like I should know this. But he spent time as a cattle rancher in the 1880s in the Dakota Territories, and so it kind of just details his path with that, and it's just not very widely known. So I thought that that was really interesting that this show is gonna it has been highlighting that part of Teddy Roosevelt that people don't really know all too well, and they do it in a very entertaining way as well. And you know, I've always been a big fan of Westerns. I've always wanted to do a Western, and I've also, you know, I love history. That was my favorite course in school. So, you know, getting to kind of join those two passions of mine and work on the show has really been a dream. And so I play the character Rosie Maddox. She's going to be coming into the mix on April 25th, so that's next Thursday, when episode 3 airs on INSP. And my character, she grew up in like the rural outskirts, just the rural Badlands of the North Dakota Territory. Her parents died when she was really young, so she was raised by her aunt, who was one of the original pioneer women. So it's interesting. I love this character because Rosie is basically a feminist before feminism was even an idea, because she was raised by her aunt, who's this very strong woman. So she naturally just has that in her. She's got a lot of fire and ambition and spice, and she's very self-sufficient and very independent. And that's what I love about playing this character is because it's, you know, taking place during a time that women were accessories to men. They were, you know, just kind of pretty little trophies. But Rosie is not one of them. She is a very ambitious, very capable, very hardworking woman. And I love it. I love this character so much.
So how did you prepare? How did you prepare to portray her? You know, because it was the antithesis of what was going on, because the series is based in the late 1800s. So, you know, it's a very different mindset, you know, to go into that kind of a historical series.
Extremely. And I actually was lucky enough to have a lot of room to play around with this character. Like when I was even auditioning for it, there was very little description on who she was, other than just like what her upbringing was kind of like. So I really got to kind of just take her away. And so what Rosie ended up being in the long run is definitely there's a lot of me in there. But after I got the part, I, you know, was doing my research. Typically what I do whenever I book a role is I make a playlist of songs that put me into the world of this character. So I made a 50 song playlist that I feel like really kind of got me in the zone. I also made a mood board on Pinterest of what I feel like Rosie's world looks like. And that really helped me visualize, you know, what her world looks like, because it's so different from mine. I mean, Rosie is in the Badlands of North Dakota and I live in LA. So it couldn't be any more different. Now I did grow up on an avocado ranch. So there's that, but it's still like Southern California versus the Dakotas in the 1880s. So, you know, I was able to pull on a little bit of my country girl vibe for her, but it was still very, very different. And so what I also love to do whenever I'm playing a character that is, you know, from such a different background than mine, and especially living in a different time period, I like to read books that are set in that time period, sort of in the same area. So what I did was I picked up Cold Mountain. And now the Cold Mountain's like set in the South, whereas the Dakotas are more, you know, Midwest. But it was, you know, in the 1800s, and it's about, you know, people kind of in the backcountry. And I read that book, and I loved that book. So if anybody needs a good book recommendation, read Cold Mountain. It's phenomenal. But what I kind of did is I took a lot of inspiration from the character Ruby Thews. And she's like this very independent young girl who had to basically raise herself on a farm. And she, you know, she's very capable, which is, again, like very different for women back in that day. And, you know, and if you know Cold Mountain, you know the character Ada Monroe. She's like the female lead, but she's sort of this city girl that's put into this country environment, doesn't really know what to do. She's all alone. And Ruby Thews comes into the mix and, you know, teaches her how to be self-sufficient. So she then develops that herself. So I kind of fused those two characters together and took inspiration from a fusion of them and put a lot of them into Rosie as well. And then I also read the book, The Coffin Quilt, which is about the Hatfields and McCoys. So it's a historical. Yeah. And there's a character in there, Rosanna McCoy. And if anybody knows the story of the Hatfields and McCoys, there was a bit of like a Romeo and Juliet bent to the story with Rosanna McCoy and John Z. Hatfield. So I took a bit of inspiration from the character of Rosanna for Rosie as well, not just for the namesake, but that just so happened to work out that way. But that's, you know, a lot of my process is just getting outside information that I wouldn't know otherwise, and then just taking a lot of myself and putting it into the character as well.
Right. So I guess the final thing that would create your character is wardrobe, right? Because
yes,
clothes, there were long dresses, there were lots of petticoats, it was, you know, difficult to maneuver in. You were filming in well over, you know, scorching temperatures with these clothes on.
Oh, tell me about it.
You know, it was like 110 degrees most days or something.
Yeah, ridiculous. I think, yeah, the hottest day on set, we were filming out in Acton, California. So it's like canyon country area. It gets really, really hot out there. I think it was like 108 degrees. And fortunately, like the stages that we were filming on, they have AC, but that also conflicts with audio. So whenever they would yell rolling, that AC turns off and it felt instant. It was like, it was instantly that 10 degrees was added on. And, you know, I was like, fortunately, my wardrobe, a lot of it was cotton, but I did have two or three outfits. One of them was this like thick velvet. It was double lined. It was very authentic. And then I had like a wool dress as well. And on the hottest day, I was in the velvet dress. And it was, I honestly was actually worried that I was going to pass out. Like, luckily I wasn't doing a lot of like physical movement during these scenes, but it was so hot. And they, we had like a wonderful, wonderful wardrobe, key wardrobe, Molly Levine, and she felt so badly for us that she was like trying to make it better. Like, whenever, you know, they wouldn't be filming, they'd come and like fan me off and all of that. But there was like really only so much you can do. But Molly just did such a wonderful job with the wardrobe, and she wanted to make it look as authentic as possible. That's what I really love about the network INSP in general, but then also Morningstar, the entertainment company that handles Elkhorn. They are hellbent on authenticity, and I feel like, you know, that's very respectable. But the one thing that they didn't make us do was wear corsets, thankfully. So
thankfully, yeah,
That would have been a whole other world of pain. And, you know, it wasn't super necessary. So thankfully they didn't make us do that. But, you know, we were still in those dresses, and I was buttoned up to the nape of my neck, and some of those dresses were real tight. They did not breathe. Honestly, I feel so badly for Molly, the key wardrobe, for having to deal with my sweaty clothes after a day of filming. Honestly, like, those dresses should have been burnt. Let's just say it did not smell good. You know, thankfully I had some good deodorant, but not to get graphic here, one day it was so hot and I was wearing this wool dress. I think it was wool. I was sweating so much that I had gnarly pit stains. Like, I remember hearing on somebody's radio, can we do something about the pit stains? And so they had to fly in like a hair dryer to dry off my underarms, and then Molly came in with these like pads that you can put underneath your arms to prevent the sweat. But that's just how hot it was. And I was just thinking, like, oh my gosh, these women that existed back during this time, they would be wearing corsets on like underneath what I'm wearing right now. Right. And there was no AC. There was no escape from it. You just have to, you know, grin and bear it. And it just gave me like a whole new respect for these women back then.
That's wild. That's and they didn't, and the women back then didn't have, you know, intermittent air conditioning either, you know.
To cool exactly. Down. They certainly did not have deodorant. They did not have armpit pads. They had no AC. There was absolutely, you know, no room for comfort there. It's just, I could not imagine, truly. I got a little taste of it, but it wasn't great. But I will say, we looked damn cool. Like, they made us look so good, and, you know, that, so it was worth it in the end. It looked good. It looked authentic. I felt good. Like, I love wearing costumes. That really helps to bring the character together. And I even realized, so during the rehearsal process, I was constantly struggling with mannerisms. Like, my mannerisms tend to be very modern. I talk with my hands a lot. I move around a lot. And Panini, she's one of the EPs of the show. She has wonderful notes. Like, her notes always really helped me get into character even more. And she kept on coming to me and grabbing my hands and putting them on my side, saying, like, you're acting too modern. You need to remember that you're in the 1880s. Like, women don't talk with their hands that much. Women don't, you know, slump onto one hip. Women don't lean on counters. Like, they were very much more contained. And so I found that once I got into wardrobe, my posture suddenly changed and my mannerisms suddenly changed. So it really helped get everything together.
Yeah, that's important, isn't it? Stepping into the costume, you know, of the role, it gives you that extra kind of skin in a way, doesn't it? Because it helps you realize this is the role that I need to be in and do.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. So, I mean, you know, you talk about having, you know, you read, you know, some books, and you really got some inspiration for the role. You know, how in you know, in a way, how did you work out the way that Rosie should be? You know, how you were going to take that role from the words on a page into, you know, living and breathing them in this series?
Well, I'm fortunate enough in this series that we have very talented writers. So the writing just flows. And I found that I was not struggling at all with like her speech pattern or, you know, how she talks. And a lot of what Rosie says during the series is exactly how I would respond to situations. And so I was really able to get into her head super easily because they made it so easy for me. But it was just kind of like it was meant to be this character, me playing this character, because I've never had an easier time getting into a character's head than I had with Rosie. It was just like we clicked, and all of the decisions that she makes throughout the series are decisions that I would make, and she has to make a lot of tough ones throughout season one specifically, you know, and as you all watch it, you'll see what I mean. But there's, you know, a lot of crossroads that she comes to, and everything that is decided is exactly how I would go as well. And so there was never like this fight between me and the character. I always just had this understanding, and that really just helped me make it more authentic, I feel, because it was like, in the end, I feel like, especially in this show, I'm very much just playing myself with these added elements.
That's the thing, right? But also, you know, it's also the other actors that you're working with too that can bring out a different side as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I got so lucky with my castmates on this show, because I mean, you never really know how your dynamic with other actors is going to be. That's always kind of the anxiety, the concern before you get on set with people, is you just don't know how they're going to act. A lot of times you encounter very selfish actors that will, you know, give the camera 100% when they're getting their coverage, and then the second that the camera turns around and, you know, it's on you and they're just off camera, they'll just completely fall flat and give you nothing to work with. But fortunately, on this show with, you know, my castmates, every single one of them 100% of the time gave me 200%, whether they were on camera or off camera. And that really just meant a lot to me. It helped so much. And I just built such wonderful relationships with these people, character-wise and then also personally. I mainly throughout the show work with Ashton Selecki, who plays Medora in the series. She actually just came in last night. Her first episode aired last night, and I was just blown away because I hadn't seen her episode yet, her first episode yet. So that was really cool to see. She's just so phenomenally talented, and she's such just a wonderful person. Definitely, we've become very good friends. And every single time, she just gave me so much to work with. Like, if I get any good reviews for this show, 90% of the credit should go to them, because I realize I'm kind of a heavily reliant actor. When I am dealing with somebody who doesn't really know what they're doing, it makes me a lot more unsure. So that's something that I have to work on. But I was fortunate enough to have such talented castmates that their performance made my performance even better. And then the other actor that I work with mainly in the series is Garrett Schulte. He plays Wilmot Dow. And you'll kind of see our dynamic unfold over the course of the next couple of weeks. But he and Ashton both have made me feel things in scenes that I have never felt before on set. Like, the authentic emotion that these actors brought out in me, I was not prepared for, and I was not expecting it. And it just felt so real. It felt so authentic. And it was just the best feeling, because I didn't even feel like I was acting at all. I just felt like I was being. And, you know, actors know that that is the dream, is to be able to just be versus having to act. So they were just, you know, so wonderful to work with. And, you know, you spend so much time with these people. They, like, become your family. But, you know, luckily enough, we all got along so well. And whether the cameras were rolling or they weren't, we were, you know, just having a great time.
That's amazing because, you know, a lot of actors talk about, you know, they were very giving, you know, in the scene. And so, you know, this is exactly what you're explaining. You know, they were there, you could rely on them, that you could get that interaction going that created a better kind of scenario for both of you, really, or for
Exactly,
the
you
actors
know,
in the scene.
it was seamless. Like there was no difference in their performances, whether they were on camera or off camera. And I feel like that just made a world of difference because I have worked with actors that shut down the second that the camera's not on them. They feel like they don't have to do anymore. They're, you know, sometimes I hate to think this about actors, but sometimes they do want you to do poorly so that they shine. So they will purposefully be bad, hoping that you're going to be bad in your coverage. But thankfully, that is not at all what I encountered with this. Everybody was just so giving 100% of the time. Everybody's main goal was just to make this series as good as possible, and that meant supporting each other and giving each other what we needed.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that, you know, about some actors just want to have the limelight and hog the limelight and take away from you. That would be a difficult place to be in if you're in the middle of a scene and somebody's not giving you what you want. That makes it, you know, makes it frustrating, I'm sure, because you're trying to get this dynamic going between the two of you, and
It's
it's
so
not forthcoming.
frustrating.
Yeah.
And it, you know, really, it in the end, it just takes away from the whole project. It takes away from the other actor. And I feel like it's so important to be a team player, especially when you're part of like an ensemble cast like Elkhorn very much is, you know, there's so many different moving parts to it, and there's so many different great characters and storylines within this show. So, a selfish actor really wouldn't work. It could be very detrimental to the whole show. And I did not encounter one singular selfish actor on this set. And that's saying a lot. I couldn't wish for anything more.
Well, so in that process of filming, what did you learn about yourself? Was there things that you can talk about your craft? You know, was, you know, what did you feel that you had to lean into, lean away from? What was it about, you know, the craft of acting?
I learned a lot about myself on this. I just fell more and more in love with it every single day, even if it was 110 degrees and I was in extremely uncomfortable clothing. I just found that, you know, despite any kind of discomfort, I was just so happy to be there, so happy to be doing this. And unfortunately, during filming of the last episode, the finale episode, which is, you know, arguably the most important of this season, I had come down with a bad case of tonsillitis,
Oh
and
yes. Oh
it
yes.
was so painful. I was so nervous. It did affect my voice. I have not seen this episode yet, so I don't know if you could hear it or not, but anybody who sticks it through to the last episode of this season, you know, warning, listen for my voice. It will sound different. But I went to the doctor many, many times in the days leading up to filming. And you know, they were giving me all of like the steroid shots, the antibiotics, just nothing was working. But they told me that, like, you're not contagious unless you are literally playing tonsil hockey with someone. You're not gonna spread this around. So, you know,
Tonsillitis.
go ahead, like, go to set, do what you have to do, but you're gonna be in pain. So, you know, lo and behold, the last 2 days of my filming for season one of this show, filming the last episode, which was, you know, it's the most dynamic. There's a whole dance sequence. It was a lot. I was so miserable and so much pain, like driving to set, but I found that the second that I got there and I was around my castmates and I was in wardrobe, I couldn't feel a thing. And it was crazy. Especially when the cameras were rolling, like I felt like I would just kind of like black out, wouldn't really have any memory of how it went. So if somebody says like, "Hey, good job," I'd say like, "Okay, well, you're telling me because I have no clue." But you know, it just made me realize how into it I could get. And
Yeah.
you know, for me to be in such excruciating pain, and the second that they yell action, for all of that to go away, it was very telling. And yeah, I just it. This whole experience has made me realize so much more how in love with this craft I am. And you know, I learned so much about myself and how I work too. You know, like I said earlier, how I really realized how dependent I can be as an actor. So like I said, I definitely need to work on that because I'm not always going to encounter the best actors. But I really saw how much better I was when I was working with someone who really knew what they were doing, who, you know, had a fully formed character themselves. So yeah, there's a lot of lessons.
Yeah, that's important, isn't it? The fully formed character and the role.
It's huge. Because
that's how you can get the kind of the balance going between the two. Whatever the interaction is between the two of them, when somebody's fully developed in the role, there's no misunderstanding as to what their role is. You yourself as an actor is very clear about you know, about what your role is, but then you want that feedback, you want that connection with that other actor to create the moments that you need.
Absolutely. I think it's one of the most important things because, you know, if you have a situation where one actor has a fully formed character, you know, with a full identity, they know who they are in that character, and then you get another actor that they're working against that kind of half-assed the whole thing, you know, maybe wrote down a few notes here or there, but doesn't really know where they're going with the character, or doesn't have like a clear direction or a clear identity, it shows big time. Because, you know, the actor with less work done will, I've seen them like kind of, what's the word? They'll kind of just play off of the other character and almost become the character they're playing against because, you know, you have this very strong stance and then you have this weaker one. And then it's like you're almost watching the same character just play with each other. It's, if that makes any sense, that's what I've seen a lot.
Yeah, it does make sense, actually. It really does because... As you were saying it, I could envisage it in my mind about how that would be. And I'm wondering, you know, if anyone in the audience has any questions, just raise your hand because this is a great moment to kind of understand that interaction between the two actors. So, wow. So what do you think were the biggest challenges for you in that portrayal of Rosie?
I definitely
besides
think that,
the heat.
Yeah. besides the heat. Just getting down the mannerisms of the day that this takes place in. That was huge for me. And, you know, I'm very modern. Yes, I am a, you know, 20 something woman living in 2024 in Los Angeles. I can be a bit of a valley girl. Like, I'm bubbly. I talk with my hands. I have very, very modern mannerisms. I'm not contained. Like, that's just how I am naturally. So shifting from that into the point of view of a young woman living in the 1880s, that was huge for me. And, you know, like I said, during the rehearsal process, I would have to be kept, like, being reminded, you're acting too modern, like you need to make sure that you're acting like a woman. Back then, women acted so differently with their mannerisms and even like their facial expressions. They weren't nearly as enthusiastic. They were just more contained. And now we found a happy compromise because Rosie, I feel, is not the typical Victorian woman. She's very much like her own person. She's also very much just not a part of common society back then. So she has sort of her own energy, and that is going to be a little bit more exuberant. And she grew up, you know, in this rural country, working the land, you know, riding horses. So she's going to have a little more of like a rough and tumble quality to her. So we were able to very much like find a happy compromise, but that was a learning curve for me, 100%.
Wow. And so, I mean, did you have to change your diction? Was there your manner of speech? Did that change as well?
Fortunately, no, actually. That's, you know, what I was nervous about with this. Now, there are just certain phrases that are not modern by any means, so they wouldn't traditionally come out of Tori's mouth, like my mouth now. But the way that this was written, it just really flowed very well. The dialogue, I found, like, Rosie's dialogue really flows for me. And if I ever had a sentence that was written that just wasn't quite working out. I would just kind of say like, hey, how about I say it like this instead? It just felt more organic. And 9 times out of 10, they would be completely fine with it. But you know, there's a lot of ain'ts, and there's a lot of, you know, there's just certain little things that like Tori wouldn't traditionally say, but Rosie does because of the time period, because of the, you know, location. Right. So yeah.
So we have Helena here. Hey, Helena, you have a question for her. Tori.
Hey. Hello. Hi. Hi. Thank you.
So what's your question?
Well, I didn't necessarily have a question, but I just wanted to comment a little bit about the chemistry between actors.
Yeah.
And maybe there will be a question here in a second, but I just shot my very first short film a week ago, actually.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I just want to say we had no rehearsals at all.
Wow. Absolutely. That's tough. That's
and
tough.
I don't know if that's, you know, usual. I don't know if that's a usual thing, but it was a student short film. And my castmates and I, we had a little time before filming to rehearse a little bit. So we went through our two scenes together, and I was just so surprised at how much we were able to flow. We went through those two little rehearsals like we had been rehearsing for forever. And it was only like a month, like we had about a month before the filming. And I didn't know what to expect. I thought things would be super awkward once I arrived on set. But like I said, we were able to really mesh very, very well. And the director was even surprised at how much we were able to flow together when she heard us, you know, going back and forth. So I guess if I could throw a question at you, have you ever been surprised at how things may have gone prior to actual taping?
Wow, that's incredible. I'm so glad that you had that experience, especially like working on a student film. You just never know, you know, the kind of people that you're going to encounter. So that's very, very fortunate. And I mean, that definitely happens. I think, especially if, you know, the casting is done well, and that can happen on any, you know, any production, you know, all the way from student films to, you know, big budget pictures. If the casting is done well, the casting director will kind of know the vibe of the actors and who to put together. So that can absolutely happen. And yeah, you know, on this show, I will say it was the easiest time I've ever had just developing chemistry with the other actors, even just from the table read. We saw that this was just going to go extremely well. I actually did a chemistry read with another actor. I had already been cast as Rosie, but they were trying to cast the role of Wilmot Dow, which ended up, you know, going to Garrett Schulte. But they had me read with another actor that they were testing out for the role of Wilmot. And, you know, he was great. I thought that our chemistry was phenomenal, but he did not end up getting the part. And then I got to the table read, and that's the first time I ever met Garrett. They had cast him. We had never done a table read, or we had never done a chemistry read, because I was in Vancouver filming another movie while they were, you know, testing Garrett out. So they didn't get the opportunity to test him against me, but it was just instant. Our chemistry was absolutely instant. We were sitting all the way across the room from each other, but we were reading the script, reading our scenes together, and it just flowed like I had never experienced before. So that definitely happens, but I will say it is rare. So I'm so glad you had that experience. That's amazing.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Helena. That's excellent. Dante, good morning. How are you?
Hey. Oh, so good, Versa. So happy to be here. Good morning. And Tori, so glad you're here. Hey, question.
Dante.
Hey there. Hey, yeah, I was checking out your credits, and you've done a ton of awesome work. And, you know, I'm curious, as you know, and I'm sure a lot of people in the audience can relate, just transitioning from that, you know, that short film, more independent, into the, you know, the network, the bigger stuff. And, you know, as you develop as a series regular, where you're finding that, like you, I guess I may have came a little bit late too. Just, you know, that experience of like, okay, character development ideas. I haven't thought of that before. Do you feel like you came already with that bag of tricks, or do you feel like that you really kind of have developed a lot of that stuff as you've been working the series regular on, you know, on the journey as an actor? Would love to hear your feedback on that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's important, no matter, you know, how big the production is or how long you're going to be on a project, to have a fully formed character and have like a great place to start and like a fully formed identity for each character that you're playing, no matter, you know, what project you're working on. That's super important. But I really realized the depth that you can go to when you're working on something for longer. Like, it took us 6 months to film season one of Elkhorn. We were, you know, filming from April of 2023 until October of 2023, at least for me. I think that they went into November for some of the other cast members. So it was like a 6-7 month process. And that's the longest shoot I've ever been on playing the same character. And I had never experienced it before, but I realized how much more depth you can get to, the depth that you don't even know is there, that you don't even know is like so crucial and important to creating a fully formed character. I was able to, you know, reach new depths with Rosie because of the time that I had, you know, to play her. So I think that it's definitely something that, you know, grows with the more you do it, the longer that you have with each character. But that being said, it is super important to have a fully formed character, to have as much of a solid perspective and point of view in that character as possible, no matter how big the project is or how long you're working on the show.
I have a quick question there. You know, trying to develop the role, you know, do you ask questions to the producers, to the director? I mean, how do you develop that besides like doing your own research? There comes a point when it needs to be more, it needs to kind of take on a bigger stance. So I'm just curious to know, do you talk about it with other people? How do you formulate this is exactly who she should be and make it so that it's a solid performance from you?
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's really important to ask questions, especially, you know, to the writer specifically. I'd say, you know, the writers are the ones that are coming up with these things. They're the ones that are, you know, birthing these characters initially. But with Rosie specifically, I felt like I really had a good place to start from, especially since they didn't give me much about her when I first auditioned. And I booked the part off of the initial self-tape. So I had one audition before being offered the role. So I felt like given that, I was on the right track with her. So I kind of, you know, was a bit of a control freak with it. And I went and I did what I felt. And I would, you know, I would kind of see how they would react to my choices. And sometimes they'd go like, oh, no, that's not right. Let's try something else. And I was always very open to that. And I would ask questions if I wasn't sure. But 99% of the time with Rosie, I was sure as to how things should go or, you know, what to do character-wise with her. And I would just kind of wait for them to have an issue with it. And if they didn't, then I knew I was on the right track. But I think it's very important to have an open line of communication, especially when you don't have that like absolutely positive attitude towards it. Like absolutely, if you're not 100% sure yourself, it's so important to ask questions.
Yeah, that's kind of the best way to develop the characters. The more questions you ask, the more answers you can get back, and the more solid your performance can be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it was interesting to me because, you know, you were filming Bauer, which was a film about World War II and about I'm just trying to get the pronunciation of the concentration camp. Is it?
It's Plaschow.
Plaschow, is that how you
yes.
say it?
Yes.
Yeah, because that is a totally different dynamic to, you know, because that's World War II, that's a concentration camp, you know, it's has such a different kind of energy and vibe, and the way you were going to attack that is very different to the way that Rosie was portrayed. So how do you, you know, you had these two things going kind of, not so much back to back, but they were kind of, you know, in the beginning. So
they were, yeah. I had about a month in between wrapping Bow and then going into Elkhorn. So yeah, it was honestly, it was incredible because my entire career I've said, okay, I want to do a Western and I want to do a Holocaust film. You know, as a Jewish woman, that's, you know, just something that I've always wanted to do because I feel like I have like another level of authenticity there. And it was just important to me. So to be able to do two like dream projects back to back was incredible, but they were significantly different. It was crazy. And both of them, funny enough, both of them required accents too. So I was, you know, doing a Polish accent for Bow, since it was set in Poland, the Plaszow concentration camp, and my character was supposed to be Polish. Going from the Polish accent and then doing a complete 180 to a Western accent, it was a bit trippy. But you know, I found it easier because I would do these tongue twisters in the accent before I'd go on set. Cause like I first, you know, cause I was living in the Polish accent for so long that going into the Western accent, I would kind of like autopilot go to Polish whenever I heard, okay, do your accent. So I would have to like take a minute and do my tongue twisters in the Western accent to just kind of get me out of that. But like, I tend to struggle with speech. Like if I'm doing an accent for long enough, that will become my accent. It was kind of like how Austin Butler sounded like Elvis for like a year after he wrapped filming. That's very much how I am too. So, you know, doing the Polish accent changed how I talked for a while, and then having to jump from that to Western, changing how I talked again. And then, you know, I feel like for months after I wrapped filming for season one, I was still talking in a little bit of this country Western accent. And I naturally sort of sound like that a little bit since I grew up on a ranch. Like, yes, it was in Southern California, so it definitely wasn't, I don't know why, I've just always had a little bit of a twang, but it just was definitely emphasized after wrapping this.
That's what I'm saying. You know, you didn't have that much time to release one role to go into another. So it just fascinated me that you and you only had that amount of time to learn the, you know, the kind of all of the sides and the script for Elkhorn. So you go out of one transitioning into this whole other era, you know, that was just astounding to me. And you know, kudos to you for making it all work so well.
Oh, thank you. It was so much fun. I love doing period pieces. So getting to do two back to back was, I literally felt like I was dreaming.
Well, you're not.
I'm not. I know, that's the best part. It's real.
I mean, you've got, you know, you're on next week, April the 25th on Thursday is, yes, Elkhorn airs, and then, you know, a couple of weeks, no, a week and a half later, you're doing the premiere for Bow. So that's, you know,
exactly. Well, it's actually, it's not the premiere. That's going to be, it's just a screening. They're going to do an official premiere. Okay. Yeah, at some point, once Paramount figures out when they want to release it, we'll have an official premiere. But yes, it'll be my first time seeing it with a whole audience. So yeah, literally exactly a week apart, my first episode of Elkhorn airs, and then I'm gonna go, you know, see it at the Beverly Hills Film Festival. And actually, yes, if anybody is planning on attending the Beverly Hills Film Festival, May 1st. Bow Artist at War is screening at the Chinese Theater. So if anybody wants to come, you can buy tickets for that block. I know that they were having issues with ticket sales yesterday, but I think that they've gotten it cleared up since. So if anyone's interested in seeing this Holocaust film, it's going to be screening at the Chinese Theater on May 1st as part of the Beverly Hills Film Festival.
Absolutely. So as we're starting to wrap up, I just a couple of questions. You know, what do you want people to take away from both Elkhorn and your character Rosie, and also, you know, later on down the line, you know, the role of, is it Dida in Bow? you know, what do you want them to take away from that performance? You know, like, but particularly with Elkhorn, because that's kind of on the heels of being released next week.
Yes. Well, I mean, I hope people initially just fall in love with Rosie. I feel like she's such a lovable character. She's just such a good-hearted person. And I really, I just hope people are extremely entertained by her. And I just hope that you fall in love with her as much as I have. I just think that this is a phenomenal character, especially, you know, being a woman in the 1880s and not being a man's side piece. I think that it's just, it's a really cool, really wonderful character. So I hope people see that.
Yeah, people don't realize just how much of a, you know, you were a chattel. That's what they used to call the women. They were chattels.
Yes.
And, you know, property. And you know, they had no, there was, they had no power at all. The decisions were made by the men they married. If they had any wealth, the man would take over the wealth and property if they owned any. And so it was a totally different time.
Then
it is now, and I think it's really important for that progression to be shown. You know, like how you see that, how different it is, and the character that you play is playing a kind of a modern version.
Exactly, it's just like I said, she's a feminist before feminism was even an idea, and that's definitely a big part of Rosie's character arc, is kind of owning her power and making decisions for her life that will allow her to do everything that she wants. Like, she's a career woman. That's her, like, first and foremost, that is her priority, is having a career and living an extraordinary life that wasn't really an option for women back then. So I really hope people take that away from it as well.
I love that. So at the end of each show, we ask one main question. And that is, what do you feel is the underrated, underused word that you can share with us?
Word, like, explain this to me a little bit more.
Well, you know, like, is there a word that you think that people should use more of, you know, whether it's kindness or, I mean, I don't want to put ideas into your head, but, you know.
Let's see. I feel like there are so many. A word that people should use more. I'd say compassion.
Wow, I love that.
I think compassion is a human element that is very much underrated. I think that so many of our issues politically and personally could be resolved by just having more compassion. So I think that's the word that I would go with.
I love that. I really love that. I think that's wonderful, because that's what we need in this world that's going crazy and awry right now.
Exactly. You know, just being able to empathize with one another. Like, we're all people, you know, we all have the same biological makeup. We all have brains. We all have dreams. We all have wants. We all deserve love and want love, and that's, you know, what everything always boils down to. So just having compassion for one another, I think, is huge.
Well, I think that's wonderful, and I think you're a formidable talent, and certainly are a rising star in the entertainment industry. And I thank you so much for being here. And
thank you so much for having me. This was absolutely great, Versa.
Thank you, love. And with everyone, we'll see you back here next week, same time, 10 a.m. Friday morning. Thank you all. Bye.
Thank you guys so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.